Dave and Darren. And the top five things. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast, a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear every weekday, live from 5:30 to 10 if you want to. You want to supersize this experience. What we have in mind for you now are the top five things that happened on the show. My name is Dave of Dave and Darren, and here's Darren Dave and Darren.
And this podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location, and you can order medicinal items online from the Milan location. Both of those are through Leafly, and you're going to find both of those if you just go to the website. And that would be ntillinois.com.
Let's get into the top five things, and we'll begin with...
Number one.
Number one.
There's a couple in England who are going viral because they have ghosts in their house. And they're always posting videos of the ghosts, like, moving stuff around in their kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Lainey Clark and Ben Hubbard. I think they're both teachers. One might be, like, a gym teacher. They say two ghosts live in their house. One threw scissors, and the other predicted my baby's sex.
By throwing scissors?
Gender reveal party. I'm going to have a pink balloon and a blue balloon, and the ghost is going to throw scissors. This is going to be fun. Lainey says, I always hoped that spirits existed, but I never saw anything until my mom died. I was in my early 20s. And soon after she passed, she came to me in a dream and said, I'm here to tell you I'm okay and I'm happy.
That's great, but that's not a ghost.
It was so real.
That's what's called a dream.
It was so real, and I felt settled ever since, knowing she's not suffering anymore. That's actually pretty common
I would think
that to happen, when you lose a loved one, for them to visit you in a dream and say everything's okay.
I would think so.
Yeah, that's common, and whether or not that's paranormal or just your brain trying to, you know, your subconscious trying to soothe you through grief, I don't know the answer to that. She continues, I met Ben when I was 31, having just left my husband of 13 years.
Ooh, we were get after it early.
Yeah, yeah. And she's...
Make
she's,
it happen.
She's 34 and he's 22. So she's rocking the cradle a little bit. Good for you, sister. She says, I met Ben when I was 31, having just left my husband of 31 years.
No.
That's, or 13 years.
13 years.
31 years. Married when we were infants.
I was a baby. I was a baby bride.
Well, she kind of was. If she was married for 13 years when she was 31, right? That's awful.
And she doesn't need any time off, huh?
No, gets right into it. I met Ben when I was 31, having just left my husband of 13 years. We were teaching in the same school and bonded immediately. And after I'd given a telling off for not doing his job properly, we moved in together 3 months later in the summer of 2018. Our little house was perfect, but odd noises kept us up at night. We'd heard footsteps on the stairs, and despite it being a new build, we put it down to creaky floorboards and cooling pipes. Then subtle sounds became a whole lot scarier. One afternoon, Ben was out, and I was relaxing in the bath when I heard a male voice call out my name.
Ben, is that you?
I froze. Maybe it was the old tenants. Nervously, I called out, who's there? But the house was silent. I was shaken to the core, but I didn't tell Ben. We were still in the early days of our relationship, and I didn't want to seem like a crazy person. But that all changed a few weeks later. We just finished dinner and turned the television on, ready for a chill evening on the sofa, and out of nowhere, our pot plant shifted across the shelf in front of us and dropped to the floor.
Their what?
Their potted plant.
Oh, okay.
I'm Americanizing up some of what she says here, because like she says, we popped the telly on. So I'm changing that to turned on the TV. Every once in a while, there might be something a little lost in translation. She says here, we both stared in disbelief. The hairs stood up on the back of my neck. We couldn't deny it now. Our house had a poltergeist.
And yes, I have a very hairy neck.
It shattered everything I knew about life. Brought up in a strict Catholic family, I was taught there's no such thing as ghosts. But now I know they're very real.
What I have here is a poltergeist. And yes, my neck needs shaved. Thank you. I know it.
Moving costs a fortune, and we couldn't afford to just jump up and leave. I felt like I couldn't talk about what I was experiencing, scared of losing respect at work. We had to come to terms with it. Initially, had no intention of sharing our story.
At school, they used to call me the porcupine.
Then 2 years later, we decided to find others who were experiencing hauntings to help us feel less alone.
How haunted are you?
We thought we'd be laughed at, but it turns out haunted houses are quite common. We started off scared of the ghost, but thought, well, if it's going to get us, it's going to get us. It's massively frustrating when we're woken up in the middle of the night or when a door slams in our faces, but we cope okay. There are actually two spirits in our house. Dave is always here. He's thought to be attached to us, not the house. Dave was the first spirit to reveal himself. A psychic told us his name and his frustration that we weren't acknowledging him. But things have calmed down a lot. It's like living with an invisible roommate who's made it known that his favorite food is Spam. When we moved in, I had really...
And doesn't chip in.
When we moved in, I had really bad headaches. We recently discovered that Dave passed away in a car accident. He had a blow to the side of the head, the same side as my headaches.
Well, there are only two sides. I mean, it's a flip of the coin, quite frankly. That would be nice, though, if all of a sudden your roommate, your ghost roommate, is actually paying rent and it just shows up as direct deposit. Now I believe.
I guess I don't understand a lot about how ghosts work or don't work.
They can work any way they want.
So if you have a ghost that was stabbed in the stomach and that's how it died, and then it lives in your house, then you have heartburn? She has headaches because this guy banged his head in a car accident? That doesn't make any sense.
He also had a hairy neck.
The other ghost's name is Andy and is the late brother of the psychic who investigated our house.
Andy wears a lot of rouge.
Dave and Andy have actually bonded. The scariest moment for me was when Ben was away. I started to startled awake to the sound of growling in my ear.
Sometimes you can hear them leg wrestle.
I started recording on my phone to document what was going on and watched as a ghost lifted a hair from my shoulder. That felt too close for comfort.
And my shoulders are too hairy.
I'm a hairy monster.
I walked in on them one day when they were, quote unquote, leg wrestling. That's no leg wrestling, I said.
I sought advice from experts who told me I needed to set boundaries with the ghosts, and since then it hasn't happened again. I never feel alone in the house, and I've come to love living with ghosts. Sometimes it's quiet and we wonder if they're gone. There's a lot of activity whenever we're stressed or anxious, so they must feed off our negative energy.
And my food in the refrigerator.
Using a Ouija board, I asked Dave and Andy the ghosts if they'd protect our unborn baby. They said yes. Dave was convinced the baby would be a boy. We recently found out the gender, and he was right. That's okay. If you live in a house with ghosts, get out of the house. Also, I don't know that you need to be bringing ghosts into your unborn baby situation. What are you doing?
Yeah. Take a step back, Ruth Garden.
The baby's first words were red rum. Does a neat trick with his head. Look at this. Spins it all the way around. She says people probably think that we're absolute idiots, that we have demons in our house, or that we're putting our unborn child at risk. But there's no heaviness or bad vibes here.
Well, you didn't say anything about demons.
Yeah, don't be putting a... Don't get your kid involved.
Don't even mention
this.
You're pregnant to the ghosts.
Well, maybe it's Dave or Andy's. If that baby comes out half a ghost, how's Ben going to take that news? Look, I was okay with you guys moving plants around the house, but that's stooping my wife? That
baby's a ghost from the waist down.
Oh,
it does save on diapers.
Oh. Yeah, you don't want the human part to be the lower end. Ghost torso and it just poops all the time.
That's all it is, a poop machine.
As a kid, Ben says here, as a kid, I had a love-hate relationship with horror movies. I liked to get scared, but I always had in the back of my mind that they weren't real. Now I'm living my own version of a Hollywood blockbuster.
A movie wasn't real.
Ben says, I remember seeing shadows out of the corner of my eye or feeling someone watching me in our house. But I was a skeptic. I wouldn't believe it was a ghost, let alone two of them. When the object started moving around in the house, I was terrified. I'd seen the Conjuring movies, and I thought we were going to die.
That made me something of an expert.
Soon we were coming home to a pigsty. Our stuff was thrown around in a mess, so we decided to put up motion-activated cameras to capture Dave and Andy the ghosts in action. One day I watched a pair of scissors fly out of the kitchen drawer. I don't want to think about what would have happened if we were away at the time. A few weeks later, I woke up to go to the bathroom during the night, and I looked up to see the outline of a man standing right in front of me in the bathroom. My jaw hit the floor. I was definitely awake, and my mind was in overdrive. It couldn't be real, could it?
He was smoking a cigarette and wearing nylon stockings.
We speak to Dave and Andy the ghosts using a spirit board and a ghost hunting app.
Okay. Yeah, we've got an app for that.
They're the best budget options because it's not cheap chatting to ghosts. Dave loves winding me up. One day I was all alone playing soccer on the PlayStation and I saw something move out of the corner of my eye.
Someone started rubbing my shoulders.
I leapt up and left the house. Lainey came home later to find me sitting barefoot on the doorstep looking sad. I feel more comfortable when Lainey's with me. I don't want to go in the house without my wife. The ghosts scare me. I just sit here looking sad until my wife comes home. Get out of the house, you idiot! He says, most people say our house feels happy and calm, but a few friends hate it. One friend offered to house sit while we were away.
One offered to burn it to the ground.
A few hours into our journey, he rang and said he'd heard footsteps walking across the room. Then he called and said, I posted your keys through the door. I'm leaving. Apparently, he was lying in bed, and the covers were pulled away.
Wait a minute. You're lying in someone's bed?
Well, he was house-sitting.
Oh.
He bolted and hasn't been back since. Movies show ghosts throwing people down the stairs, so I'm grateful that we don't have a basement. That one would be game over. But it's not so bad. Weird things happen now and then, but it's okay. We're not possessed. That's exactly what somebody who is possessed would say.
Exactly. I don't like that sort of talk.
You need to get out of the house, guys.
I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, so they're always posting, I guess, pictures on the TikTok. Here's a video of a floating ketchup bottle. The husband's terrified whenever his wife's not around because it's just him and the two ghosts. He doesn't like that. He likes it when his wife's around because she kind of, you know, can keep him in check. Lainey, they made me do some stuff.
Ghost stuff.
You should hear it from me before. Yeah. They said they were going to go to the papers with it. I don't want them to do it. just a floating bottle of ketchup.
It's one thing to lay there and take it, but it's another thing to lay there and give it. Lainey,
I had to do some stuff, some ghost stuff.
I got a lot of sheets that need to be cleaned.
Two. You've never thought about running a marathon, have you?
No.
Is that on your list of your bucket list?
No.
The Bix is enough
for
me.
I'm not a fan of driving 26 miles.
The stories here of women who have run marathons. This one had to make 9 porta potty stops while running the marathon and still achieved a new personal record. Deirdre Kane.
Well, you could do that if you're always, it's every time you run that race. Yeah, I typically stop 9 times.
Her pre-race diet includes Mexican food and Halloween candy.
Oh, boy.
And her race day strategy is to run as fast as she can for as long as she can. She's completed 34 marathons, but says other people should not do the method that she does. She's running fast because she has to find the next bathroom, you see. 16 stops.
That sounds like torture. I heard someone talking about running a marathon.
Yeah.
And they've run a few, and they were talking about, you know, they were relatively young and in pretty good shape and had done a ton of training, and they just talked about, it's just awful. It's just a ridiculous thing to do to yourself.
Her pre-race diet includes Mexican food and Halloween candy, and her race day strategy is to run as fast as she can for as long as she can. And she says the ideal time to get to a marathon is show up a little late. Now, experts will tell you you should avoid greasy and cheesy foods, and you should pace yourself, and you should also give yourself plenty of time on site to warm up, and you should use the bathroom before the gun goes off. She throws all of that advice right out the window.
Caution to the wind.
And her laid-back approach, she said, has served her well. But the 2014 Philly Marathon... Because of her hurried race day breakfast, she wound up visiting every porta potty in the first 16 miles, but she achieved a personal record. I think the sprinting from porta potty to porta potty strategy worked for me, she says. Keene is a nurse practitioner at a pediatric intensive care unit in New York City. She traveled down to Philly, which was either her 9th or 10th marathon with a friend who was running a half marathon. She assumed that they had the same start time, 7:30 in the morning. When they got there at 6:50 and got in line for the porta potty, she learned that her race actually started at 7. She had just shoveled 2 protein bars down, 2 slices of buttered toast. She had no time to digest the food or even continue waiting in line at the porta potty. So she ran to the start, flinging herself over a barricade, only to be surrounded by elite runners with whom she hoped to keep pace. After 5 minutes, her stomach started pumping, she says, and the reality that I may be about to poop myself set in. That didn't happen. She saw an empty porta potty, used it quickly, and emerged, she says, possibly 5 pounds lighter.
I was trotting along quite nicely.
She says, my strategy became to sprint as fast as I could, mile to mile, to make it to the next porta potty before the next explosion. I visited 9 porta potties in 16 miles that day. At mile 17, I was finally okay. Achieved a personal best time of 3 hours and 38 minutes. You should not do this, they say. That long distance running can trigger your bowels. Simply because of the mechanics, your organs are just jostling around the entire time. It can also lead to temporary incontinence because your blood is shuttled away from your digestive tract towards your legs.
Makes sense.
What you eat before a race matters too. A high-fat dinner the night before can lead to more toilet time. And race day gels with lactose or fructose can be harder for some people to digest. You should wake up 3 to 4 hours ahead of your race and eat carbs with a little protein and fat maybe an hour before the start time. Although Runner's World says you shouldn't have anything to eat within 2 hours of the race. But there is a reason they keep portable toilets at every mile, because it happens.
Now, when you went up with the Thunderbirds,
yeah,
what did you have to eat before that?
They told us not to have a big breakfast, but to not skip breakfast. So did I just have toast or something? I don't remember. Why? Do you remember what you had when you went up?
I don't think I had really anything. Although, in flight, I would have killed for a bag of chips or a Bloody Mary.
You need something salty up there, huh?
Oh, that would have been nice. I could stay up here much longer now.
There's also the story of one Tamara Torkelson. Now, she is a marathon runner. She was running her 6th marathon, the Mountains to Beach Marathon, 26.2 miles. It says here that her digestive tract is a well-oiled machine. Whether she has a race or a long run day, her bowels automatically clear before she hits the road. But something was different that day of the marathon's two beach marathon. Halfway through the race, she realized she had to go to the bathroom again, which was unusual for her. She pooped her pants. But she thinks it served her well because she ended up achieving a personal record as well as legend status in her running circles. That's right. She pooped her pants halfway through the marathon and then just
ran. That makes you a legend?
And then just ran with the load in her shorts until she crossed the finish line.
Oh, boy.
Being stopped by the cops literally scared the crap out of her. She told police, quote, "I pooped my pants. I ate too much corn."
Somewhere at mile 13 or 14, she realized she had to go to the bathroom, but she didn't want to lose the physical or mental momentum by stopping. She thought, "I don't know if it's possible to poop while running, but I'll try." I didn't want one poop to mess it all up, so without stopping, she relieved herself into the built-in underwear in her shorts. She says, "I had to stay focused."
What's the largest number of ears of sweet corn that you've ever had?
In one sitting?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had more than 2 ears of sweet corn.
Mm.
How about you? Is there a...
Maybe as many as 4.
Really? Just
that could very well be, though, that could be a situation where that's all I had.
You just had corn for dinner?
That's it.
Now, are we talking like...
No, I'm talking about decent ones.
Decent
I'm not
size?
Talking about like...
All right. Not like the restaurant size.
No,
it's
not,
like
not the tiny little things.
No,
the
waste of your time is what those are.
Coblets or whatever the hell they are.
She says the whole time she was running with that load in her pants, no, she doesn't think anybody noticed.
Oh, they noticed, all right.
She says marathoners don't judge. She maintained a personal record pace with the soiled shorts for 13 more miles.
I suppose when you're running a marathon, you do look the other way.
When she neared the finish line, she yelled to her friends who were waiting for her, "I pooped my pants."
We know!
She quickly hit the medical tent for baby wipes and got herself cleaned up in a porta potty, but she says it was all worth it to run a 3-hour, 7-minute marathon.
Everyone knows. The whole city of Boston knows.
It was her fastest time ever by 1:20. Wow. She says, if I'd stopped in a porta potty, who knows what would have happened? Maybe I wouldn't have had that personal record.
Poop. Diarrhea poop.
Well, it wasn't all that bad.
Personal records, they're not need to be that cherished.
Number three.
More than half of Americans would hook up with somebody because they look like their celebrity crush. Crutch.
I've got a crutch.
I'm always using that particular celebrity. More than half of Americans would hook up with somebody who looks like their favorite celebrity, according to new research. Looking at hookup preferences.
But they're all my favorite celebrities.
I want to bang all the Hollywood squares.
Even the squares.
The contestants. I'm into a very specific
thing.
The
studio audience.
Mark Goodson. I want all of them. The average respondent had the most hookups, it says here, when they turned 27. And 64% of Americans still have an interest in relationships that have no strings attached. So you're asking the question, would you have sex with somebody
in a perfect world?
Where are these no strings attached things happening?
In a perfect world with no strings attached, you'd like to have sex with someone that you find attractive. Is that what you're saying?
Well, more than...
And it's only 64%?
More than half of Americans, yes.
What's with the other half?
That's something else. Respondents saying they don't like when things get messy.
Well,
one in five say they still make a point to get to know the people that they hook up with before getting hot and heavy. Three and four say it's important that their hookup is polite and has good communication skills. People also value others who have similar moral views. I guess it's been a long...
Yeah, because you don't want that person to turn it, you know, figure out that person's a weirdo.
Well, if it's a hookup, what difference does it make?
Well, I mean, as long as they don't find you.
Does hookup mean something different now than it used to? I would have no problem hooking up with somebody who had different moral views than myself. I don't think. If it was just a hookup. I'm guessing. I don't think it would be a deal breaker for me.
As long as I don't find out about it.
Well, yeah, that would be a turn. I guess it could be a turnoff. The more I think about it, yeah. Half of respondents said they value looks and personality equally when choosing a hookup. But a quarter admitted that a person's looks are the most attractive qualities to them.
So people are saying... people are saying
yes.
That someone's looks mm-hmm. are their most important physical attributes.
Yes.
Huh.
The things that people go for, smile, body type, and eyes. Two-thirds of respondents size up their hookup style, and nearly half are more likely to hook up with somebody who posts racy photos online.
That's what I like. I like your style.
I like the fact that you're willing to put it out there. Survey also looked at how people factor in compatibility for their hookups. What percentage would only start a no-strings-attached relationship with someone they had chemistry with? If you had to guess, what percentage of people in this poll said that they would only start a no-strings-attached relationship with somebody they had chemistry with?
69%.
Excellent guess.
69, dudes!
And you got it right on the nose. 77% said they believe sexual...
Oh, it's on the nose, all right.
77% said they believe sexual compatibility is important in a hookup. Shouldn't that be number B, 100%?
What are you doing?
What's going on down there?
I'm something of a novice.
77% believe sexual compatibility is important in a hookup. Why would you want to hook up with somebody that you're not sexually compatible with? Hookup's got to mean something different now than it used to.
What are you doing to the back of my knee?
What is that? What in the Sam Hill are you doing, lady? Lady?
I'd say you're off by about 3 feet.
43% of respondents have exited in the middle of hooking up with somebody after realizing they weren't compatible in the bedroom. Right in the middle of the hookup, you go, I got to tap out.
That's rough stuff.
Yeah.
That's rough stuff for your competitor.
There are different definitions of what it means to be compatible, including being able to connect, being able to live together, or being able to smoothly do the dance of life. Living together, that's not what a hookup is.
The opposite.
We gotta pick out a China pattern? I just thought we were having a little bit of fun here. 2 in 3 Americans thought they were so compatible with a previous hookup that they wished they could have a relationship with them afterwards. Uh-huh.
Now you're pushing it.
Man, it's the burden of being the one that got away, isn't it?
You're pushing it. Asking for it is what you're doing. Asking for it.
2 in 3 said they would be open to getting a friend's opinion on whether someone is a good or a bad fit for a hookup. Half of Americans say they'd be willing to hook up with a friend, and 46% say they'd be willing to hook up with an ex. A third of people would rather hook up with somebody on a website or app match because they say it's more exciting and they're looking for someone new and they're not interested in hooking up with anyone they know. Yeah,
that's
what a hookup is. It's got to mean something different now than it did. back in the day. A hookup is just a hookup.
I only know it as a camping term.
Would you be interested in having sex with someone who looks like your favorite celebrity if there were no strings attached? Let me think about that a minute.
Does that campsite have electricity? What are we talking about here?
I don't know. What kind of music are they into?
Will I have access to water?
Like, if it's a complete hypothetical, just go for it.
We're not
really saying, hey, there's a girl in the other room that really looks like Charlize Theron. That's not what they're saying, right? This is just a poll.
Yeah.
I don't know. What am I committing to right now by answering these questions here at the mall? Who's doing this poll?
How much shade will I have?
We need to talk about the lighting sitch. What? How well it is?
Will I have access to a freshwater stream?
Number four.
A woman sharing her experience with a Tinder date that went sideways.
Tindering hard.
Ashley had been speaking to her date, Paul, for several months before they were able to finally meet up in person. I guess they were having some difficulty getting their schedules together. When he heard that she was hanging out at a mall...
Hey, I'm at the mall.
...near where he lived, he offered to come over and meet her, okay? So these two had been talking to each other on Twitter for quite some time. I'm not sure how he finds out that she's at the mall. I don't know how that works. But he says, hey, I'll swing by and meet you in person. Now, Ashley was with a friend, and Paul says, well, how about I take you and your friend...
to the food court.
I'll treat you to dinner. And she thought, well, that was very nice. He's a very nice guy. So we meet up at the Longhorn Steakhouse, she says.
Natch.
He shakes my friend's hand, and he hugs me. And once we get to the door of the Longhorn Steakhouse, he starts patting his pants and goes, oh, my God, I left my wallet in the car.
Okay. Well, then go get it.
Go ahead and put our name on the wait list, right?
Yeah.
So she's sitting there waiting and waiting.
He bailed, huh?
Paul's not coming back. So Ashley and the friend are talking about it, and they have to have the difficult conversation where it's
like, this isn't happening.
I think he stood us up.
He's the great pumpkin man.
So they leave the Longhorn Steakhouse.
Sure.
Because, listen. They were all for Longhorn Steakhouse when...
For free.
Paul was paying for it.
Gotcha.
But they decide, let's just go grab some Mickey D's.
Yeah.
She says, I wasn't really in the mood to get a steak dinner at that point.
No.
I mentioned, too, that would be upsetting, right? As they were leaving the Longhorn Steakhouse, they noticed Paul's car...
Still.
...was parked right there. And parked nearby.
And Paul's still in the car?
Ashley's friend decides, well, I'm going to go give him a piece of my mind. Ashley says, my friend went up to the car and let out a scream. So she runs over to see what all the fuss is about. He was butt-ass naked in the car.
Okay. What are you doing?
And Paul rolls down the window and asks, you guys want to have a threesome?
Very bold.
She says, me being nosy, I went up to the car, looked in, and saw this man butt-ass naked. He just rolls down the window and says, do you want to have a threesome? She says, it's fair to say, I wish that I had just been stood up. You know?
That would have been easier,
huh?
You're
leaving the Longhorn Steakhouse like he'd been stood up. He didn't like what he saw. Turns out, he loved what he saw.
Now I don't know that I can even go to Mickey D's.
So, you ladies like what you see here in the car? You know, listen. If you ever had to have a menage a trois when you've had a 16-inch sirloin steak?
Oh, boy.
You get the meat sweats. It's not good. Here's my idea.
I'm struggling.
My name's Paul, and I got a little idea for y'all. We'll have the three-way in the car here in the parking lot at the mall. Then maybe we go in
Then maybe we have... Have some of those. Yeah, we'll have some peanuts to start with.
How about this? We go at it, the three of us, here in the back seat of my car, and then if everything goes the way we want it
then.
To, then we can.
I might even spring for appetizers.
You guys like, what do you guys want for dessert? I mean, other than me, obviously.
Clearly.
How about we go to town on each other, and then the three of us go to town on a New York strip? Huh?
You think that's fair? Sound fair?
And maybe, depending on how it goes, we maybe the three of us split a caramel apple gold rush. So you... I got to give this guy credit for the confidence.
The gumption? You got gumption.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Paul. You are a grade-A creep who probably shouldn't be interacting with anyone in person. But to have the
and unmitigated... And you really shouldn't dine in public.
No. I thought I left my wallet in the car. So then that's the play. Wait for them to leave the restaurant mad and find you in
get
the car?
Get out over here.
Did being stood up turn you on? Are you excited to know that I'm still interested in you? And you can bring your friend along.
What do you think of that?
Let's see how this... When my Tinder date left for 20 minutes while waiting for a table, claiming that he left his wallet in his car, I thought I was being stood up. But actually, he was out in his car completely naked.
Brother.
Five.
Number five.
Darren, there is fun in the water, but there's danger too.
It's true.
Story of a rare double shark attack. This happening in Australia over the weekend.
It's, two-headed shark?
It's, no, that's not a thing.
You're getting attacked by a shark, and you do what you can.
Mm-hmm.
To turn away, and there's another shark waiting for you?
Yeah. Yeah, your shark attack is interrupted by another shark.
I just got tag-teamed.
Father of two killed while swimming in Australia Saturday morning, attacked by two sharks. Philip Milichip, 57 years old, just moved to Perth from London, England. Believed to have been attacked by a 14-foot great white shark. Onlookers said it appeared he was also being attacked by a tiger shark. Great white and tiger sharks working together. That doesn't seem like the best idea.
And a little old lady was hitting him over the head with a purse. Or a rolling pin. It's like, this isn't fair.
Milichip, described as a strong swimmer and an Ironman triathlete who was a regular at the beach.
And delicious.
Yeah, the tiger shark left a great review.
Uh-huh.
5 out of 5. Would eat again.
Would definitely come back.
He was there at the beach with his two adult children, as well as his wife, who was in the changing rooms, getting into her trunks there. Well, not her trunks.
What happened? Yeah, you should have seen it.
His wife says he died what he enjoyed doing the most.
Getting eaten by a shark.
Land, air, and sea patrols conducted a search for him, but it was called off yesterday after only a pair of goggles believed to have been his were retrieved. The goggles are being tested. For what?
For shark spit.
The beach was closed yesterday.
That's right. Closed the beach.
But reopened today.
Moving on.
Four teenage boys in a dinghy near where Milichip was swimming are being described as heroes for their reaction to witnessing the attack.
Four teenage boys and some ding-dong.
One of the inspectors in the case says that the boys have been really, really helpful. They've done a great job of alerting other people on the beach and other swimmers. I can say the actions of the witnesses were heroic and very brave for getting everyone else in the water out of the water and notifying everyone of what was happening. Yeah, the real heroes here, as is always the case, the real heroes are the people that closed the beach. These kids that told everybody to get out of the water and then subsequently having the beach closed for a day. You know, look, a day.
They got their paints and their paintbrushes, their signs.
Don't you think if somebody is eaten by two sharks at the same time, maybe the beach needs to be closed for more than a day? I get it. It's spring and you're excited to get into the water after a long, cold winter. But maybe a couple days? It was important to open up the beach on a Monday morning? We got these goggles. We're going to have these things tested. See if maybe there's some...
I think these things were spit out.
The goggles were treated as some sort of unnecessary garnish. I hate when they put goggles on these things.
I don't need this.
What is this? This is wasteful.
Almost ruins it.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
And that's going to be the end of this edition of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks for subscribing to it, downloading it, and now ultimately listening to it. Also want to say thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, one in Milan and one in Galesburg. Both of those are open 7 days a week. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles. The recreational waiting lists are available. You can reserve your time, and then you're good to go at ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
All right, show's over. I'm tired.